We gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is We Watch.
This is We Watch Movies, and guess what?
We got an email,
and we're going to read it.
Well, before we read it, I know it at the end of some of our more recent episodes, I'm like, hey, you know, subscribe, like, all of that jazz, leave a comment, because even though this is a primary podcast, I'm trying to put some of these out on YouTube for those who prefer to watch or listen to anything through that means. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, there's not much to watch. We're not doing video here, so you're not looking at us talk. Like, you do have nice artwork and stuff, but
yeah. And so I wanted to say thanks to Richie and Jared, who had left us multiple comments through several videos.
Okay, so that's what that message was. Because you just sent me just a text message that said Richie and Jared, and I was like, well, I don't know what do you mean? And like, I, you know, we know people named Jared. Also, my brother's name is Jared. Go back and listen to the Primer episode like 120 episodes ago if you want to hear him talk. But but it's not spelled the way that you wrote it in the message. And like, what is this for? And I didn't ask you about it. But like, okay, so that's what it is. It's one of your like, I want to remember stuff text messages.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I want to say I appreciate you guys for leaving some comments, some interaction. You know, I feed off that.
Don't feed the trolls, but you can feed us.
Yeah, but speaking of feeding us, we received an email, one of those direct, you know, you went to the website, you went to the contact thing, and it's a message sent straight to us. So unfortunately, we can't reply to you via email. So we're just gonna
because we don't have you. Which you can. I think there's a blank in the form if you want to put like alternate contact information, but like otherwise, if you want to just write directly, you can write letters at wwmpod.com. That's the direct email. And like, then we can reply to you directly if you want to. But
or
if you don't want us to be able to contact you, but you have something to say, you can use the form on the website. We don't know anything except what you put in it. We can't see anything. So,
or if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're not like super hyperactive, but we try to give at least a little bit like, hey, this episode's going to come out.
When the episodes come out, sometimes there's supplemental things like the picture of the ticket from Sucker Punch. And usually those things I try to embed in the episode post on the website too. That doesn't like, you can't see that in your podcast app or anything normally.
But we are small enough that if you ding us, we'll notice.
Yeah, if you follow us or if you message, we notice. Which like compared to the still small number of people that we think download our episodes, the amount of people who follow us on Twitter is much smaller, like a magnitude smaller than that. So
magnitude, wow.
You can we'll notice you on Twitter for sure. But we'll notice the like
almost immediately. Email. I'm holding it in my hand.
Well, you'll notice the Twitter immediately. I'll notice the email immediately. Like I'll see the ping. Like I keep the email on the front, on the homepage of my phone, so I see when things come in, so I'll see it right away. But you'll see the Twitter right away. And you'll see the comments like fairly immediately.
Yeah,
and
that means that if you have a suggestion. Or if you want us to watch a particular movie so we can have our input on it because you're interested.
You can.
Just let us know.
I used to do this whole, like I probably have it here somewhere. I don't want to play it because I'll just like turn red from embarrassment if I do. But because it's from this like super early days. I recorded this like standard version of the like how to contact us stuff so that I could just like throw it in at the end of the episodes because it was taking me like 3 hours an episode to edit then because I was like going through everything and like doing it all by hand and cutting stuff out and syncing music to stuff. And like, it's bananas and ridiculous. And I think the show is better for not doing it that way anymore. But like I recorded the standard thing, and in that one of the things I said was go to the website and use the contact form there. And so with that being the case, and also the suggest stuff to us. But so we got this email through the contact form from I'm going to assume that since he put his first and last name here that I can say the whole thing, because if he didn't want us to know his last name, he didn't have to put it in there. And maybe he wants to hear his name on a podcast, or on our podcast anyway.
Be recognized, so, we have witnessed you.
I'll say his whole name. His name is Joshua Bandy. And he says, hey guys, I'm a little late to the We Watch Movies party. Are we having a party over here? Is it like a party?
I mean, I'm drinking.
Yeah. But I gotta say, I'm very much enjoying what I'm hearing. You guys rock! !
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. I'm thinking about getting my own podcast going. Perhaps someday in the distant future, we can collaborate. If you have questions about how to do this whole podcast thing, like, please contact us, because I will tell you the right way to do it that like basically doesn't cost you any money, and you don't have to like subscribe to Podbean or like think you need to become part of a podcast network, or like it really isn't that hard. And like we do it. Like, I don't hand code the RSS feed, but so it's not like literally by hand everything, but like we do it in the small podcast way. Like, we don't use a service, you know, we do everything. We run everything. So
it ain't that hard.
It's not that hard. And I can tell you how, and it doesn't have to cost like it costs us like, I think maybe like $50 a year or something to do the show. And that's just the. Like mostly the domain cost and like the website hosting, which is really small. And so like it doesn't have to cost you very much. Like if we ever like get really big and popular, it'll cost more because we'll have, you know, bandwidth concerns and things. But while we're how we are, and especially starting out, you can do it the way that we'll do it. And I'll tell you how. And like, you know, everything, you know, microphones, equipment, you can do it all for very, very little money and do it very well. Do not buy anything made by the Blue Microphone Company. Just like right there. I'll tell you right there. Don't bother.
We're not expensive. We're not gonna get sponsored by Blue.
We're not gonna get sponsored by Blue. I would not take Blue's money. My microphone, I do not approve of them.
My microphone was like $11.
Yeah. So like I'm gonna do an episode of it. I should just do an episode and lay out a lot of the stuff anyway, because I've thought about doing it. I was gonna do it as the like 200.5 episode, but then we have so far we're like 17 episodes past 200 in like numbered episodes, and there's like 40 something more than that. And so like I haven't done it because I wanted to anchor it to that. But we haven't done that, but I should just go ahead and do it, I guess. But so, like, if you have questions about starting your own podcast, Joshua, or anyone else, please reach out for that. And if you do start a podcast, we'll probably collaborate with you if we like you. And we'll probably like you. So reach out for that, too. Either way, I'm making your way through all your older episodes. I gotta say, he says day, but I assume he said say. I thoroughly enjoyed the Goofy Movie episode. Well, that's one of the episodes that's really important to me, because that movie is really important to me, and you can learn a lot about me from that episode. And it's one of our like pretty early, like, people think this movie isn't worth the time, but here's why it is. Like, it's one of our contrarian opinions on a significant thing episodes. And of course, it's way more important to me than it is to you, but you still like it. So
yeah, it's still a good movie. It's got a lot of depth.
It does have a lot of depth. One day we'll do the Brave Little Toaster and you'll get to learn about death and stuff.
Yeah.
like not in the like metal death kind of way, but like,
damn it,
like people getting dying and stuff. And how do you deal with that kind of way?
I mean, I was just picturing like heavy metal slowly plays little bit louder in the background.
Not Grim Reapers with flying V guitars and things like that. No, not that kind of death.
If you go listen to our Evil Dead episode from like two Halloweens ago, you'll know I really like metal.
Well, there's one from this Halloween ago also.
So. Yeah, but it doesn't have like the demon hand coming out of the person and the cool metal stuff.
Yeah.
Dead.
I like to take every opportunity to play that because I really like it. If I could make a request, it would be cool if you guys did one about the movie In Time with Justin Timberlake. I think it's a very unique movie and would love to hear your thoughts on this. So
guess what?
If you've downloaded this episode, you've seen the title and we're doing In Time. We were going to get to it eventually because this is also going to check off one from the fishbowl, for me. So this will get updated on the favorite 50 page on the website, even though we're not doing the whole like format and everything. And so if we ever end up pulling it out of the fishbowl, we'll just have to skip over that one because we will have already done it. But since you requested it, it overrides waiting for it to come out of the fishbowl. He does continue on. Also trying to figure out if you guys have a Patreon page or what, because I haven't heard any ads, which I like.
No, we do not.
We do not. I suppose we could have a Patreon page or like a PayPal donut. You can donate donuts to us, though. That's okay, too. I don't know how that would work, though. I don't really want to receive donuts in the mail.
That'd be very odd. Stale. Well, on that note, we are trying to get our lives together in such a way that we can actually start filming properly.
The bar show will have you can give us money elements to it. This one, yes. This show, like, yes, we don't have ads because I sort of disagree with advertising on podcasts in general in like a substantive way. And I think I've talked about it here and there at various times. I'll talk about it more probably when I come around to doing the like, here's how you make a podcast episode, which I guess I should just go ahead and do pretty soon now that. Since I'm. No, I know. Like, I mean, but like soon.
Soon.
Because
soon.
We're like, we're talking about it. I should just like just sit down and just do it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'm bringing it up. No, I know I said it, but I mean like right, you know, not right now because we're doing a show right now, but soon, very soon. But we probably won't ever make any money off of this unless we make it off of like the YouTube versions or something.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of don't want to really because like when you become commercial, then you receive attention. And when you receive attention, then you have like more restriction. And like, I've already had to restrict things slightly more than I would have. Not in like a not that you're not going to swear kind of way or we're not going to say what we mean kind of way. But I liked sometimes to use the actual music from the score of a movie for the like the bumper music and things like that. And sometimes that gets flagged on YouTube. So I can't do that anymore. And so yeah, look, really like
we are not large enough to actually fight against any system to prove our innocence. So we are.
But we're also not big enough for anybody to look at us to decide we're guilty. Mostly.
Exactly.
You know, YouTube is so automated that it picks us out, even though we're small. But you know, here just on the regular podcast feed, like nobody is looking at us because there's lots of bigger, more popular things to worry about infringing on your copyright. So,
So we're looking into making some changes and we want you to stay posted.
Yeah, when we start doing video stuff and when we start doing the like other things on within the sort of like I know I just said like don't join a podcast network. Like we're not starting a podcast network, but like we're going to have various properties that involve the people that you've heard on this show in various formats and covering various subjects and others of those. Will have give us your money elements. This one probably will not. But the newest one I've heard so far is The Joker, which is recent enough that if we had ads, you would have heard. And that's pretty recent. So like, I do wonder, he says working through and also he's heard The Joker. So like, I wonder if he's kind of going from both ends where he's like trying to work his way through. But if he sees like a new one pop up and he's like, I want to know about that. Then he listens to that too. Which also, I do wonder about, that sort of brings up a question. How do you listen to new podcasts? Like, do you, when you find a podcast, you just like, here's the new stuff and you're just going to go along? Or do you go back to the beginning? Or do you do both at the same time? Or like, what do you do?
Well, personally, I'm not super huge into the podcasts directly. But I do consume a lot of YouTube. I've kind of gotten bored of normal television And so I take most of my entertainment from YouTube in a more direct sense. And shut your whore mouth. one of the creators, which I'm sure some of our listeners will know, is H3H3 with Ethan and Gila. And they've done their own podcast, which is H3's podcast. H3 podcast, where they will have various guests. They've had Post Malone. They've had Andrew Yang. It's a little all over the place with who they have on. Sometimes they don't. And some of the episodes I'll kind of get at, like I'll see it, especially when they got started. Joji, who you might know as Filthy Frank / Pink Guy, he happened to be on one of the episodes like towards the start. And that's what really attracted me to watching it. But there was so much in between where I would get tired of listening to them. You know, it's an issue I have with people is like forgetting the things that you've said in a more recent manner. Like, I'm not going to expect myself to remember something I said 5 years ago, but I am going to try to at least keep some consistency between now and last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's something that they don't always do. Like, they just forget everything they say.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the, like, what happens to your brain when you do a show. Like, it really does become hard. Like, once you say a thing, it's kind of like writing, where, like, once you write a thing, it kind of happened, and then it's hard to, like, write that scene again. But then, like, when you say something on a show, you're like, well, that was on the show, and then, like, it just kind of, like, most, you kind of have vague recollections of it, but you don't remember, and then, like, someone will say, like, you said this thing on this episode of the show, and you're like, I guess, probably, like, that seems like something I would say, but I don't remember it particularly most of the time.
But then there was a little bit of time that passed, and I had stopped watching them. And then Belle Delphine, who was doing the gamer girl bathwater, became a thing.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. And I think it was like right before something like that. It was some goofy stuff going on. And they did an episode and they talked about that. And because I love memes, I saw that and I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this one.
This is a couple of years ago, isn't it?
No, this was like last year.
Is it last year?
Something like that. And so like I watched that, and then I watched like a few of their episodes as they went by. But then the same kind of thing happened where I got tired of listening to them and I disappeared. But I still kind of keep up with them from time to time just to see what topics they're going to cover. Outside of that, there'll be creators who will make videos. And sometimes they'll be like, hey, I'm gonna make the Snart Tank podcast with Tom Sweeney. And I love Tom Sweeney. And so it's just like, all right, I'll listen to them. So you got Chris Raygun and you got Some Black Guy. That is literally the tag he goes by, Some Black Guy. And you have Tom Sweeney, and it's just all kinds of goofy stuff. That's all I can really say about that. It's like there'll be creators that I enjoy and they'll be like, hey, I'm going to make something and I might check it out and I might stick around. I might not. But that's about it.
I usually go. It may not be that I'll like stop and wait to be current until I go through all of it. Like there are some, you know, I guess there are certain ones that you have to do that because there's like because they're like story based or something. I don't really listen to any of those. You know, I don't listen to, you know, Serial or Welcome to Night Vale or something. Although, like, apparently I should listen to Welcome to Night Vale, according to people, because, like, it's supposedly really good and it seems like something I would probably like, but I just haven't. That's not the kind of thing that I think of when I think of podcasts, really. And so, like, that's not really any of the, you know, and Serial, of course, is NPR, and I've talked about NPR and their, like, non-podcastiness before. But usually, if I really like a podcast, I want to eventually have heard the whole thing if it's still available. But usually it is kind of like a double end kind of thing, or like I'm going through the old stuff and also listening to the new stuff at the same time. So just keep up the good work. I shall keep listening and just know that you've made at least one loyal listener right here. Have a great day and keep on watching, which he capitalizes, which I appreciate.
Yes.
I don't know if we've ever like verbed the title before, so I don't know if there's ever been a circumstance where we needed to decide whether we do that or not. Because we don't actually write very much. even in the episode descriptions. I used to write a lot more in the episode descriptions than I do now. Go back and read the V for Vendetta one. I'm still really proud
of it. Yeah, it's a lot.
But
it is a lot.
But it's not that much anymore. I did write a written review for Ghost in the Graveyard.
Yeah.
Because we needed, I wanted to have something out before, and then we put the whole show out after everybody could have seen it. And I'm thinking about writing written reviews of a couple of other things right now that I think I have enough to say about that I can condense into a written form. And so there's going to be more, you know, it's a tab on the website now, so eventually more stuff will go there. You know, there's only like two or three things in the visual business one, but it gets added to, and, you know, the recipes one, you know, we add things here and there. But so we don't really write that much where we've had to actually like decide, make these like formatting decisions, but like the rest of the format of everything is really particular and we try to be consistent. And so like, I do appreciate the, making the decision to capitalize the verb form of watching, because it's in the title.
Well, speaking of that, every so often I'll talk about being on the show or, you know, recording the shows, trying to get the YouTube stuff going, all that kind of business. And people kind of get interested whenever you're talking to them.
Yeah, I've got to go and record the podcast. Do you have a podcast?
Like, and I'll tell people, you know, like, oh, look us up. It's the We Watch Movies podcast. Like, it's all like one actual thing. And the horrid thing that I hate about it so much is, as specifically unique as our name is, it is also horribly generic. And so
I know it doesn't have any Google juice at all.
Yeah. And so every time someone looks us up,
it's hard to find.
Like, the thing is
if you type it into iTunes, it comes up. But if you just type it into pick your search engine, it doesn't come up that easily. You have to dig a couple of pages down.
Well, like, I'm just saying, like, because I'll tell people, like, we're on YouTube. You know, it's like,
I haven't searched for it.
Like, I got stuff on YouTube. And so, like, you can go, and if you search it, some of the videos will pop up, but the first channel listed is We Watched a Movie. And I'm like, no, we watch movies. We didn't watch one.
It's a different phrasing.
We didn't watch one.
We watch movies.
We watch a lot.
It's ongoing.
We watch movies. We never stopped.
What kind of movies? Movies. And occasionally documentaries.
Now, speaking of that, I think it's like Ghost Ship.
Miniseries.
I think Ghost Ship is the first one that pulls up because it has like the most views.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there like some kind of like it hit like some kind of like Russian translation thing or something you said?
No, it's like some like North Africa, Middle Eastern kind of thing.
Oh.
And that's what I kind of find hilarious, is because we have a huge viewership. But it's all kind of isolated in like Egypt and Iran and Iraq, like just like that Middle Eastern kind of section of the globe, just right there. And so many people leave these horrid comments like, oh, stupid. And I'm just like, like, bruh, like, why are you tripping? And because like the thumbnail is like when the guy gets his face like cut in half and he's like starting to fall forward. And I know my thumbnail sucked, but that's my favorite thumbnail. And so I'm so glad all these people see it, click it, and get angry. I cannot help it.
Click it, get angry. Yeah. .com.
That was easy.
My dad has an easy button. It sits on the table next to the couch, and he, like, when people make, like, when like the other team in football does something dumb and lets the team with the ball do something like good, but they didn't have to try that hard, he hits the easy button.
Sports.
The spinoff podcast. We watch sports.
No, we don't.
we could watch a sport that we don't know anything about and talk about that. That could be funny, I guess. But like, yeah, we're not going to cover your football games and your soccer games and your baseball games.
I will only watch a sport for this form of entertainment if it is a sport filmed or recorded, however you want to put it, in a foreign country where no one is speaking any form. I don't want to see English on the screen at all. And I want to hear
all the graphics are in a language we can't read.
And I want the announcer to be as loud as possible. because I'm going to have a hootenanny with this one. Because Jesus. Like, I'm not watching the sport for the sport. I'm watching it for the announcer.
Uh-huh.
Like, some of them people say some crazy things.
And now, our feature presentation.
Today's movie is In Time. In Time is a 2011 science fiction dystopian action film written and directed by Andrew Niccol, starring Amanda Seyfried, Justin Timberlake, Cillian Murphy, Vincent Carthier, I'm sure is not how you say it, Carthizer? That looks more right. Olivia Wilde, Matt Bomer, Johnny Galecki, Collins Penny, and Alex Pettifer.
Justin works in some kind of factory making time capsules. Pun.
Irony.
Yeah. His mom dies. He meets a dude. Gives him. No. He meets a dude. Dude kills himself, giving him all of his money. His mom dies because she runs out of money. Literally. He travels to the nice neighborhood. Cops take away all of his money. He kidnaps rich neighborhood hot girl. They rob banks. So steal money, whatever. Then they actually live because they're going to crash the time comedy.
Yeah. The
God, this movie is so full of metaphors, and I'm just like,
but no, it is. But it's very important that I said at the beginning that it's a science fiction film, because like that's what sci-fi does, is it's like, hey, we'll just twist this just a little bit so maybe you'll think about it.
Where's the government? Or the actual police?
Well, the timekeepers are the police.
No, no, they're not. They're the timekeepers.
They keep time.
Yeah.
That seems to be the most important thing, is keeping the poor down. And so that's what you have to do. You have to keep the poor down. You have to make sure that nobody crosses time zones, so nobody gets too much money, time, and that the things stay how they are.
I like this movie.
I like it
too. I'm going to say a lot of really mean things.
Are you?
I like this movie.
You said
I just want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, you want us to remember?
As I start bashing on this thing, because I had a lot of fun watching this thing. As stupid as some stuff is, and as irritating as I find the whole concept,
I like the concept, so we're gonna fight.
Fight. Okay, so
we watch sports.
I understand that time is money, which is literally,
I know,
the whole thing behind this is time is money.
And the thing is that, okay, it literally is in real life, though. You know, when people say I don't have time to, you know, go fishing or take a vacation, what they really mean is I don't have enough money that I cannot work for this period of time that this is going to take, and also I haven't worked for enough time to have the money to do the thing absent of the time, even. So like, it really is, it's like time is money. So
yeah,
this is like literally, like, it's not literally time is money, like in real life, but in the movie it's like, no, literally. Like, literally.
Like, not
literally,
white girl, literally.
No, like, for real.
Actual definition or form of literary.
It's on your arm and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so that's
genetic engineering.
Okay, so that's my first line of BS. It's like,
well, I mean,
how is this? You're gonna tell me it's evolution?
It's not
even a real clock.
It's not evolution.
It's not gonna tell me the time. Agreed to this?
Well, okay, so I have a little bit of self-defending to do, because we've never done Divergent on the show, but
I would really not want to.
When I saw Divergent, I had these thoughts. I thought, like, how did this happen? Who agreed to this? Like, how did we get to the point where, but then also, you know, like, apparently we agreed to the Purge, and although I think it probably is a lot easier to get people to agree to the Purge because people think the Purge would be cool. Like, people watch the Purge movies and they think, oh yeah, that would be cool. Why don't we have the Purge? I've got a few people I'd like to rub out. But it's not, it wouldn't really be cool if it was real. But like, this is like,
I don't think anybody agreed to this.
No.
I think that
because if you,
I think a few, like, I think it was discovered by science, and then like a few rich people were like, we can keep the poor people even down even more than we can right now. Because there's no reason for the clock, really, because the time thing is arbitrary, because you can put as much time as you want on it, and it doesn't seem like you couldn't just, like, where does it come from?
Where does it go?
Is there, like, a time mint? Gartner, Joe, etc. But there's, yes! Like, but you could just give everybody as much time. I mean, Matt Bomer's speech is really important because it's like, if everybody lived forever, where would we put them? I like that scene a lot. That's true.
Yeah, it is a good scene. But
why would you have kids? Like, if everybody lives forever, just like if you're genetic engineering people not aging and also having this clock thing on their arms, you can just knock out the whole being able to have kids thing too, and then it's problem solved.
Well, okay, so the first part is one, in real life, if you have no money, you are 100% broke. You will not just immediately die
not
on
immediately.
The spot.
You'll die sooner than if you had money, probably, but not immediately, for sure.
Like you're never having to look at your wallet or your bank account and realize, oh my, if that hits zero, I'm just going to immediately kill over on the bus. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Running because you couldn't afford the bus because it costs more to take the bus than it takes to run.
Yeah. Second of all, the whole idea of having kids because of that is one of the things I do like about fantasy, because I normally pick fantasy over sci-fi.
Yeah, this is our dichotomy.
Yeah, and so when it comes to fantasy, and anytime you have elves are always a big staple, but they're known to live an extremely long time. Uh-huh. But on top of that, they also do not procreate at the same rate that humans do. And that's essentially what you've created here is like, hey, if people can live a really long time simply because they have money, wink, wink, then chances are they're not going to endlessly procreate.
Well, that's the weird. Like, you can understand the, like, you know, another baby was born in the ghetto and his mama cried, you know, kind of Elvis style, sort of like, you can understand the poor people version where it's like, sure, we're poor, but it's still, you know, condoms cost time, you know, so like, you're probably going to have a kid. But like, rich people, I guess rich people, it doesn't matter because you can just have a kid and you don't have to worry about paying for them or whatever.
And then at that point, what would it matter?
But what would it matter?
Because the poor people are already put down and they're already dying in the streets anyways. So you're not having to worry about them living forever because they don't have the time to live forever.
No.
So
they don't,
simply
which is a
like
really
like,
weird
the,
statement.
The rule of the universe destroys
forever.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I like it as an idea because
yeah,
it is
absolutely.
So close to, like, it is just the, like, tiniest twist of the, like, you know, if things were different, things would be different. That would be bad. Therefore, God exists, like, kind of argument. Like, if things were different, things would just ever so slightly be different. And it's different than the, like, in Looper, things are different where, like, suddenly we've invented time travel. And also there's telekinetic people where it's two things we have to accept. Like, there's one thing. We solved aging, but you live one more year and you have to get more time. And if you have more time, you can live forever. And there's this clock on your arm. Then there are all these things that come out of that that have societal differences about them, like small things like that. Your left sleeve has like a button or a zipper like halfway up your forearm so that you can easily open it to look at how much time you have. Although probably just poor people clothes, because like if you're in New Greenwich, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to look because you've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Although I guess, you know, you can roll up your tuxedo sleeve or whatever if you're going to play poker. But you don't have to have it built in where you can do that at the ready all the time the way that the poor people do. But even just things like the why would you have kids, or we see the whole side of the building that the bar is in is this advertising mural where it's this like made up beer and it's like a six pack only. I think it's, what does it say? Like 1 hour or something.
I remember seeing like a business sign. It was a 99 second store.
Yeah, I like that too. I mean, those are just like small things, but like the you know, the beer thing is like, so it costs you an hour to buy, But then assuming that it's actually beer, then like it's going to take you time to drink it. And then afterwards, it's going to take you time to get over having drank it. And so now you're going to have less time and probably not make any more time. And so it's like, I guess, a mechanism for keeping the pour down, and like, not in a way that it's not, because there's, you know, this sort of image in politics of the, you know, the guy that, you know, he works all day and then he comes home and just wants to drink a beer and not be that concerned about what's going on in politics, and then just, you know, vote for like whichever party that, like, you know, the John Prine song, you know, Grandpa Was a Carpenter, you know, and he voted for Eisenhower because Lincoln won the war. You know, it goes back generations. And so you, that kind of just, you know, drink a beer and not worry that much about what's going on, it is just an ordinary thing in real life. But, you know, if it's like actually time, but also that means beer is really expensive, because like coffee is like 3 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And then like a six pack of beer is an hour. So like that's a big, you know, right now, you know, a cup, you know, you go to Starbucks, a cup of coffee is like $4 or something, you know, and a six pack of like ordinary beer might be like, you know, $5, $6, $7. So it's not that much of a difference, but it's a lot bigger difference. But it seems like maybe that's because you can take it home. So because they're going to the bar, like the guy, his friend is going to the bar and he's getting drinks bought by the rich guy, because the rich guy's buying drinks for everybody. But he went to the bar not knowing the rich guy was there, and so did Will, not thinking that he was going to, you know, spend several hours. I mean, you're spending several hours at the bar, you know, I guess. So there's this like double meaning to everything everybody says.
And I would say like the idea of the world creation, I think, is wonderful. But whenever
it does seem like they stopped manufacturing cars in around 1970 or so.
Yeah.
And just and then put started, turbine engines in them or something, because they have this interesting sound to them when they
and
run.
And then really bad LEDs in the front.
Like, LEDs are the future.
We need to make it look like it's from a different time. Like,
everything is LED in the future.
Like, bro.
And mostly chrome, actually. Most of the cars are silver, so they are on board with the chrome as the future thing.
But
there are weird things like that. He says it's going to crash the market. So, like, what is the time market exactly? Yeah. How does that work, the time market? Because it seems a little less ambiguous than something like the stock market is, where there's, like, multiple products. Where, like, I guess there are, like, multiple products and they all just cost time instead of money. But, like, you know, the entire market crashes typically when there's, like, more debt in the economy than there is money. Or, like, not more, but, like, a slightly, like, an uneven proportion in a way that scares people. And, you know, that's what happened in 29. That's sort of what happened in 87. That's for sure what happened in 2008. And so, like, it doesn't make that much sense to, like, if other people have money, it's not like there's less money suddenly, or like the money just disappears from the economy or some. It's just like if different people have more money, time, it's going to screw up everything. Which I understand it could screw up their lifestyle or something, but it's not going to like crash the time economy, because it's just like more money in the economy in like the current economy is good, because that means people can buy things.
Yeah.
And so then that keeps the money circulating.
Well,
when people don't have money to buy things, that's when people get into debt, and that eventually leads to a crash over time.
Well, see, like that's kind of the thing behind this, is like they're not robbing from like a company. They're robbing from the bank, like the bank, not just banks.
Well, at
in
the
general.
End, they're robbing from the bank. It seems like.
Well, I'm just talking about like the bank is the Wee's bank.
It's
like regardless of what physical location it belongs to, like that one company that owned, you know, like by the dude who had like a million years or whatever.
His first million.
And so like that's the thing, is it's you're going from the bank, you're taking the bank's money, you're not taking business away from businesses that need to make the money.
Yeah.
And so what's going to end up happening is like, okay, you take a million years and you spread it across all these people. And I'm just going to take this isolation event, not at the end of the movie where they're doing it all over the place, but just the isolation event. When you have that and you have all these people who have all this money that they've never had before. It's going to be kind of like how people are with the lottery. Like, they'll win the lottery, they'll get all this money, and then they don't know how to manage money, so they end up spending everything.
They've never had that much before.
Well, it seems, I mean, that's what happened. Although, his friend has, like, zero self-control, because he gets into a little bit of money. Like, he goes to the bar, you know, seemingly in a commonplace way, probably.
He gets 10 years.
He gets 10 years of money, which is a lot, you know, I suppose. But, like,
drinks himself to death.
Literally to death.
Like alcohol
drinks
poisoning.
Until death. Like, we don't have, like, that much money. But, you know, we could drink ourselves to death right now. Like, we could go into the other room and, like, take, you know, 1/100th of what's in there and drink ourselves to death on the air in not that long.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cost that much to drink yourself to death, really. And he, but he just, like, I can't, I have to, it's all this money, I'm going to just drink myself to death.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened. And so, like, and then the wife is like, you did this, you gave him money. And I don't agree with that. It's not his fault. He didn't make him drink himself to death.
Well,
he could
even
have not
on
done
that,
it. He's got a
like,
wife and kid.
Like, lady, if you're the responsible one, why not take some of it from the husband so you can be covering some of the things that you were trying to do anyways?
Yeah.
Because obviously you married the guy, you should know him. You should know that he's kind of stupid.
Kind of stupid.
Just take like a couple of years, because you are already saying you are in debt. Take what you need. I do like the little time capsules, because you know, like living in the ghetto, you don't want to have too much on you at one time in case you get mugged.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they really use them though. It seems like a way to transfer it around, because it is a real. It's a real thing, and it's not a real thing. Like, I guess in the way that money is like a real thing. Like, there's.
Well,
what, like 1/10 as much physical money in the U.S. economy as there is money in the economy? Like, most of it is like we made it up on paper kind of thing, and nobody is like, you can't withdraw all the money in the economy.
Yeah.
So like that's a regular thing that is just kind of made up. But so it, like, it's made up. I have questions about like hacking. Like, I wonder, like, has nobody figured out how to like hack this, or, like, make up time or,
yeah, I know, right?
Or anything? It's the, which I guess, you know, they'd be slapped down by the timekeepers or whatever, maybe. But
I mean, timekeepers aren't bulletproof.
You know, clearly not, because he gets shot. She's not good with guns.
No, but that's okay.
She's never had to have a gun before. It's fine.
But she's going to get better, you know, with them robbing time banks.
Yeah, well, she does get better. I mean, there is that we haven't done it yet. We should have by now. But, you know, episode 200 is supposed to be Bonnie and Clyde for reasons you'll understand when we eventually do it. But we haven't gotten to do it yet. But there is like a Bonnie and Clyde element happening here, where there's the like, he's kind of crime, she's kind of not. They kind of go into crime together. And he, even the like teaching her to shoot scene is very Bonnie and Clyde. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to agree like 100% with this. Like this Bonnie and Clyde kind of structure, but the overall drive behind them is like the complete opposite, because Bonnie and Clyde were like stealing money to steal money.
Yeah.
While Justin and Amanda are like trying
some
to save
kind of justice
people.
Thing happening. Yeah.
Because like they're a little
more Robin Hood than Bonnie and Clyde are.
Yeah. And so it's like whenever we see like the timekeepers. You know, you're supposed to think, oh, the timekeepers are the police. But whenever you run into them and they give the dialogue.
The only police we see.
Yeah. And it's like, OK, so they're not actually police as much as they are. We just manage time. Like, people who have time that shouldn't have time, we take it away from them. And so I'm like, OK, well, I can understand this is supposed to be a replacement for the police. But at the same time, like, there are crimes that should still technically be considered crimes. Who's in charge of, you know, writing this wrong? Because it's obviously not the time police. And so when you have that element to it, that's the only reason they're going after Justin and Amanda, is because they're literally stealing time. If they weren't stealing time, then the time police wouldn't even be there. So what police would be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like it's even like he's part crime and she's part not. Like, he's not real crime at all. He's like the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm literally giving away my money to help people compared to taking away people's money for my own greedy actions. And it's just like,
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really the rich people that are bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, he's from, like, real life, and she's not.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I do like that scene where she kind of gets that taste of what it's like to have
I'll show you what
nothing.
It's like. Yeah, just barely enough.
And, like,
enough.
She goes to, like, and I, like, this is one of those things where I'm like, I like the acting. Like, the only acting I didn't like is when Justin had a cry over his mom being dead. That is the only thing I did not like.
Crying is weak. Now, I want to talk about that scene, because that scene is an impossible scene to write. Because whatever you do, people are going to not be totally okay with. Because the, like, having her die, like, just before they get there is really kind of, you know, a course, because it's a movie, yeah. Of course she did. But it's not really, you know, just of course, because if you haven't seen that happen in a movie before, then it should still be fine. And also, it's necessary, because then when they don't do it at the end with her, and they use the same piece of music, which they use one other time besides those two times, when there's a, like, we might, there's like, it's the especially drama is happening here kind of thing. Because it's that, like, it's almost hopeful, and it's almost, and it, but it's also sad. And it's the piece when Matt Bomer is sitting on the bridge about to, like, fall off, and he's running towards him, is not the same, but it, like, it's fair, it's similar enough that it has the same feeling, and it's consistent within the music. But, like, the things about that, I mean, I know, like, he thought she was gonna get there, but the only thing he had to do was not wait for her on the bus. He's like, I've got all this money, I'm gonna go pick her up.
Yeah.
And then she wouldn't have died, which is not, you know, it's necessary to the story that what happens happens, and I don't have that much of a problem with it.
Especially because he's got, like, a sentry on him. He could have met her at work.
Yeah, he could have met her at work. That's what I mean. Is that it's not necessary that she has to die. You know, but he didn't know. He didn't know that the price of the bus went up, and that she was gonna. She said, "I'm gonna be pretty close," like, but that happens to them every day. So it wasn't a special. It wasn't a special day. So it isn't. Clark decides not to save Pa Kent from the tornado. Like, it's not as active a, like, you could have done something and you didn't.
But. Yeah, okay, I'll side with you on that one. But, like, they foreshadowed it so hard. It disgusts me.
They did like, foreshadow it a lot, but it's to build tension.
If you're not paying attention, here, let me give you 30 minutes for lunch. Look down. I could have really used that 30 minutes.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Like, I remember seeing this in theaters and being sick, just being like, wow, you're going to be that obvious. I mean, like, there's foreshadowing, and then there's just flat out telling us, oh, yeah, she's going to die because of her kind gesture, and her son couldn't meet her or do anything other
than. How much does lunch cost?
I don't know.
Coffee costs 3 minutes. Lunch costs 30 minutes.
Coffee costs 4 minutes now.
4 minutes, yeah.
It went up this morning.
It went up.
Because inflation to keep the poor down. For some reason.
Well, okay. So while we're here, I have this that I want to play. This is 2 minutes, and not all of it is the point, but most of it is the point. And so I'm not sure when exactly the point parts happen. And all of it is equally disgusting and you should hear. But this is Michael Bloomberg talking to Christine Lagarde, who is the former head of the International Monetary Fund. And just listen to them and think about what's going on in this movie. And the, like, you know, when this came out in 2011, which is, you know, almost 10 years ago now, then think about this and, like, how close, like, how this could happen if we just discovered the science of it.
Taxes are regressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves. So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. And that's what why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do. The question is, do you want to pander to those people or do you want to get them to live longer? And there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less. And there's just no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity. And obesity is one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things. Mm. So it's like saying, I don't want to stop using coal because coal miners will go out of work. Well, will lose their jobs. We have a lot of soldiers in the United States, in the U.S. Army, but we don't want to go start a war just to give them something to do. And that's exactly what you're saying when you say, well, let's keep coal killing people because we don't want coal miners to lose their jobs. The truth of the matter is there aren't very many coal miners left anyways, and we can find other things for them to do. But the comparison is a life or a job or taxes or life. Which do you want to do? Take your poison.
So it's regressive. It is good. There are lots of tax experts in the room and fiscal experts, and I'm very pleased that they hear you say that. And they all say the two things in life which are absolutely certain. One is death, the other one is tax. So you use one to defer the other one.
That's correct.
Okay.
That is exactly right.
It.
Well said.
Yeah.
You said it.
No, you said it.
Just because you like quote Benjamin Franklin on some stuff. I don't care.
No,
I don't
no,
care if someone. I don't care if someone else says it. I like no. that. That's Big Ben.
Well, and
Benny
of course,
the man said
know,
this.
Bloomberg has to get in his the jab at soda because remember he was mayor of New York and he was like, "I'm going. You can't have cups of soda this big because soda is evil." He has a real vendetta against soda. It's really weird.
I'll drink a 2 liter right in front of him. I don't. I'm not a fan of Bloomberg.
No,
no
I'm
no politics.
Either.
I just don't like him as a person.
But what he says is, you have to you want to tax the poor because if you don't, then they might do something that will make them live less time. And what you have in the rich people here is that they have all this time and they can basically live forever, but they don't do anything because if they do something, then they might get hurt or they might get killed and then they would die. And then all this time that they have would be a waste. And then with the poor people, they're poor. But so they can't live forever like all at once, but they're working for like a day at a time, which is what, you know, people are commonly doing anyway. People work paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, like we do. So, you know, we're not sitting over here on our high and mighty podcast with all our money and our like one hundredth of our liquor supply can drink ourselves to death. Like, that's not what's happening. But they're poor, but they can live a day at a time for probably a long time if they just keep working hard enough. You know, it seems kind of, it's very similar. And also, we know that there still is taxes, which seems absolutely diabolically evil.
Yeah.
Because Matt Bomer says, like, you know, why do you think that the prices go up and the taxes go up? Because we have to, you know, keep people dying because where would we put them? And so, like, it's not death and taxes. It's one thing. It's like, we could literally tax you to death because you could owe more taxes than the amount of life time that you actually have.
And I myself, how can I put this? We know there's guns in this world.
There are guns. They don't seem to be that hard to come by.
Yeah, they don't. I would be gunning down every timekeeper I see. Like I'm in this building's window and I know they're going to show up in this area and I'm going to kill every one of them. Because if there's no one to enforce taking time from people, then I don't have to pay those taxes because life here already sucks. So I don't have to owe anybody anything. And since there's no cops to investigate the crimes and all of the timekeepers are being killed when they show up to an area, they're not going to keep showing up to an area. So who's going to stop me? No one, because there's no actual law.
Well,
based off of what we've seen in the movie, that's just what I'm going on.
There's always more timekeepers. Like, they gotta hire more people.
At the end of the movie, they just kind of go home.
They do go home because it's sort of an insurmountable task. But they and also the one guy. It's all the young guys. They, you know, they don't know. They haven't been, you know, when you've been keeping time 50 years, tell me what you think, he said. And so, like, they don't know. This is like a big stake for him. You know, he's been literally his whole life now, but, you know, a big portion of his life, which it's weird. Those kinds of things are weird. I guess they get killed because he's like, he's been doing this 50 years. That guy's been doing it like 3 years. So, like, people do either like go on to do something else, or they time out, or they get shot, or something's happening, because you don't all have, you don't just have like a bunch of like, these guys have been doing it forever, so they know everything about keeping time. You know, you have just a few old timers. Because, like, I guess theoretically you could retire, maybe, but he doesn't seem to have any interest or ability to retire. They make quips about, it's a crime how much we pay our timekeepers, which is the same thing as like how much we pay police and firefighters and, you know, the army and whatever. And so, like, but he has more time than he carries, because he doesn't carry it because people will steal it.
Well, he does say that they don't carry much on them to deter people trying to steal it from thieves. Them.
Yeah. But presumably he has a bank account or something. Yeah. Right.
Well, so he
makes a little more.
He mentions, you know, send me a transfer, because he does have the thing in the car, and like my mind's still going into that. Okay, well, these police are the bad guys.
He doesn't have to give his badge number or anything.
Yeah, like just go into the car and Will then just says,
like,
take
I need
it.
He doesn't even use the phrase, which bothered me a little bit, because, you know, if you watch Star Trek 3, you know that Kirk gets beamed up to the Klingon ship because he says in Klingon, "Beam me up," basically. He makes it kind of sound like it could still be Christopher Lloyd doing it. But here, now, of course, Will doesn't know what he says because he's never in the car with him when he does it. So he couldn't know.
Yeah.
But he says, "Wire me my per diem," which seems like he's getting paid. Like, this is how much you get per diem means basically per day. Like, this is how much you get paid per day. You get per diems in lots of kinds of jobs. But so you don't have to necessarily think that it's coming out of his bank account, where he's just like, give me some of what I have, you know, built up. He's getting what he's allotted for the day. But Will just says, give me time.
Yeah.
And then I need time. He says, I need time. Bloop, bloop. And they give him some of, it's seemingly an arbitrary amount. I don't think we really see what it is, but they don't check.
Yeah.
It's just like anybody puts their arm in the thing in the car and they get some time.
Yeah. And that's kind of my problem, is using the time as an actual currency, and then having it where there's like no real repercussion behind using it. Because if you wanted that coffee and you're going to spend the 3 minutes on the coffee, well, you chose to use that coffee, but then where does it all go? Because it's not real.
Well, neither is money. But
yeah. Well, like, at least money is tied to something that someone attached value to.
Well,
it's just like, oh, well, I value time. Like, time's a construct.
Time is a flat circle.
God, you can have a circle that's flat. It's two-dimensional. sphere is three-dimensional.
That's true.
Geometry. Or some shit.
Science has proven that this is so.
Yeah, there we go. there we go. That's good stuff. But then, he just sticks his arm in the car and he gets some money. And I'm like, what's to stop you from doing it again after you give? It's like, oh,
I think they would be suspicious. It doesn't even matter if they're suspicious in dispatch.
It's just like, hey, well, like, let me
yeah,
just,
I guess, yeah, yeah. It doesn't even matter. I was investigating. They grabbed me. They took my time. I need some more.
Yeah, and it's just like, at that point, it's like, what if you were to, like, blow the legs off of a guy, and he's not dead, and you just walk up, and you just, like, steal everything that he's got? Because essentially that's what our villains do before Justin, like headshots three of them perfectly, which was a beautiful scene, but I don't believe it.
With a really small gun, too.
Yeah, and then just drains this man of his life force.
Well, that's actually the thing. Like, I don't have a problem with the, like, mom dies scene. I don't have a problem with most of the mechanics of the world, except for the fighting thing. Because it's basically arm wrestling of, like, a future kind.
It's not even good arm wrestling.
Well, it's not good arm wrestling, but, like, I don't understand how, like, his... how it works is as bogus as Stallone turns his hat around and becomes a machine like this truck. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Where it's like, they're looking at it and then you can kind of take it. But it's like, but they have all this time now. So like,
yeah,
if you were both down to like a couple of seconds and then suddenly you just like turn it and they don't notice, that would make sense. But if you have to drain like, you know, 15 minutes out of them or something, well, it doesn't make any sense how they just, you suddenly you turn and they can't get it back if you're not the strongest one.
Well, I think that's the problem, is there seems to be a lack of explanation behind how time is transferred between people. Because I would assume whoever is on top would feed whoever is on bottom.
That's what it looks like when they
do then,
it.
But then at the same time, like, what if you were on bottom, but you were physically stronger and you could like literally grab their arm and crush their arm because they have the arm of a small child?
Well, there does seem to be a kind of like conscious thing about it also, where it seems like, I'm going to give you this much time.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of do it. And it's like when you pay for a certain amount of gas and then it just like count, like it starts to count sort of slow as it gets really close so that it doesn't go over.
Yeah.
But then sometimes, like when they're fighting, it's like you just put the pump in and you just let it go, and it's going to go until the like sensor at the end tells it like it's coming up the pipe now, stop putting gas in.
Yeah, well, even on that, it's there's like the speed of which time is transferred is ridiculous.
It's up and down. It depends. So that's what I mean. It seems like there's some control over it.
Like they're talking about having like decades, and they're going to do this thing. So it's a huge amount of time. You know, because remember, the bad guy took like a lot from the girl to begin with. So we know that he's already got like a massive amount on him. And then those two who have been captured, they already have a decent amount, nothing extraordinary, but, you know, enough that they don't have to worry about immediately dying in their sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're playing with this. And so we know that the scale isn't even to start with. And like the flow is kind of slow to kind of build up that suspense. But then it's just like, I'm going to flip you over and take everything in less time than it took to get to this point.
Yeah.
Like that's what's crazy.
Well, I guess maybe when because he doesn't say he didn't have the strongest arm when he's talking about his dad. That's sort of the way you kind of take it if you're just thinking in arm wrestling metaphors, because there is kind of an arm wrestling thing happening. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not like just how strong your arm is. Maybe there is like a strength of will kind of thing happening also. And so there's like a mind game going on. And so it's like, my mind is strong and I'm going to like take your time. And so like he can take the time faster or slower. But it is the fighting thing is the thing that's the most vague.
Yeah. I would side with that whole like mental kind of like suction power.
It's got to be at least partially that. Yeah. It does also seem like there is an up or down thing to it, because nobody ever takes time with their arm on top.
Yeah.
So, or with their arm on bottom.
Remember,
right?
when they receive, it's wrist up.
Yeah.
When they're giving, it's wrist down.
So nobody ever does it the other way. Yeah. So it's not like I can just do it with my mind.
Yeah.
But it's got to be at least part of it, because there is some kind of control thing happening.
I'm just saying, like, look down at one of them timekeepers and, you know, their leg's gone and they're panicking, and you grab them and you stare them and like, no, and you just take them for all they're worth, which is like a couple hours.
I do like that you can't take it if you kill someone first.
Yeah. Because
he like shoots the guy that's got like 10 years on him and he runs over and it's already gray and he's like so angry.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what was it for only for, was it, did he say for 30 months or did he say for 30 days right after he shoots the guy in the back?
Oh, I don't remember.
It's something like that. It was a 30. Yeah. But it kind of makes me wonder.
30 for 30. We watch sports.
If you like, if I was to die, I still have money in my bank. It still exists. And I think that's something else that kind of irritates me. Is
well, you can do that, like, though. You can put money in the bank.
Yeah.
Like, that guy could die, and his million years is still in the vault. Yeah. It's not on him physically.
Yeah, but like, okay, so I have a wallet. I have money in my wallet. I have a bank account. I have money in my bank account.
Yeah, their wallet is their body. So.
And it's just like, if I was to die, the things that I owe could still be taken.
I think he took that guy's wallet. Like, you can't do that. You have to chop the arm off, and then what good... What happens if you chop the arm off?
That's what I was thinking, because maybe I got to start chopping arms off.
I don't think you can take it if you chop the arm off.
I'm just saying. Like,
it gets gray. But now what happens to you?
Yeah, I'm trying to reclaim
the time stolen. Well, no, I don't think you... It says, how does it work? They could probably put it back on.
Magnets.
Or they could probably give you a new arm or something. Now... So I think probably like the last major thing. I don't want to just complain about
how
this.
How would you know if you were going to die if your arm that had the time was cut off?
That's what I mean. How does it work?
Yeah, like, all right. Because I'm like, all right, yeah.
It probably doesn't actually matter because it probably is like, it's in your DNA kind of thing. That's just how you monitor it.
Like, what if
it would probably still
time
be the same amount of time.
Like, into the future and they're all like that and you don't have one. Like, what are they going to do with you? Oh, time traveler, take this brick and use it to scan stuff to pay for things with time. Well, already.
I guess. But like, in the beginning, he says this all happened a lot. Like, he explains what happened, sort of. Like, his genetics, we stop aging at 25. The problem is you live one more year. I don't have time to like think about how it worry about how it happened. So like, is that like, it feels like the no reason and rubber to me, but I don't know if it's as good.
It's not.
Cause like the no reason and rubber is amazing. It's like, it's just like a blank check to do whatever you want. Now
it literally looks at you as the audience and says, shut up.
It's so
shut
perfect.
Up and quit asking questions and shut up and watch the movie. And this one is just like, listen, I'm an idiot and I don't care. It's and I'm like bruh, like, you cannot tell me that you can't just be like that. And then expect me like, no, at least this person said to stop asking questions. They addressed me. Back to your dick in a box.
I think the thing is that in rubber, it's absolute. Like, there's no reason. It's not like someone else knows the reason, but I don't, and I don't have time to find it. Which is what he says. This is like, there is a reason. There is history. You could find out. You could go to the library or something. I just don't have time. And so it's just like it's not no one knows. It's just, I don't know. But I happen to be the main character in this story. And so I think the not absoluteness of it is the thing that does the damage, maybe.
Agreed.
Because I would be kind of interested to know. Although maybe not, because supposedly there's like a prequel novel coming out for The Hunger Games or something. And I don't have any interest in that.
Just go watch Battle Royale and
No. Sure, that
watch a good movie.
The fighting part of it, sure. But like, how did society get here? You know, the problem with the Hunger Games movies for me is the microphone, because the like president lady or whoever it is has this microphone, and it's supposed to be all like futury and alternate looking, and no one knows what it is, and so it's part of this like alternate universe thing that's happening. But I know it's a Heil the Finn TM. And so, like, I saw it, and I was like, that's a Heil the Finn TM. And so it's not this weird alternate future microphone that doesn't exist. I know what that is, and it totally took me out of the universe. Like, not right away, because it doesn't happen at the very beginning of the movie. But
could you at least decorate the microphone so I can't tell what it is?
It's just a stock. And now, I was at the same time very appreciative that the Heil microphone, that the Heil sound company was getting, like, a contract for a big movie. But it also doesn't help because nobody recognizes it as that. Except sound guys. And so then it doesn't, it's not out. I'm sure if you watch the credits, but nobody watches the credits except movie people or people who think there's something at the end. And people don't even do that because they just look it up on the internet now. But it doesn't help you sell a Heil the Finn TM probably, because no one knows, except maybe it does because people are like Hunger Games microphone into their search engine, and then maybe they find the Heil TM and realize that it's $300, and then they still don't buy one. Probably doesn't work.
All right, so some positive things about the movie.
Yes.
Because like I said, we've said positive things.
Like, I like positive things.
Like I said, like I like this movie, and I was going to say some really bad things.
Okay. Say some nice things.
Then. Okay. So like I started, the crying scene is the only scene of acting I didn't like. Everything else, like including some of the bullshit dialogue, I enjoy. I'm like, this is pretty good writing. Like,
it does remind me of something else I need to talk about.
Like, I'm on top. I can stand on top of this. Like, they didn't say anything that was so unnaturally stupid that I'm like, what? Like, if it was in universe, it was in universe, and so I have no complaints on any dialogue.
Yeah, it's very consistent. It's very universe creating and good.
Yeah. Like the way that the rich people. Whenever you're developing this world, and I'm going to move away from the world creation part of it to the actual, like, we're filming a set part of it. Between the, this is a ghetto and this is Greenwich, like the transformation between how you see these shots was great. I loved it. All the way from how the camera is going to look at Amanda when she's getting out of the car compared to whenever the camera's looking at Justin as he's like trying to adapt to, I don't have to be in a hurry.
Yeah.
All the way to going into the ocean, which confuses me why. Oh, you don't go into
the ocean. Well, that's what he says. Like, you have this in your backyard. You never go in. So like, are there sharks? Are there stingrays? Like, what is there to worry about?
Yeah,
but it seems like it's all the dad's fault because we have the wife say at the end, like, you smother us all. So like, he's being really overprotective.
Like how the story structure goes, like the fact that he doesn't pay the 1,000 years, which would have been like a drop in the bucket. But it's just like, I'm going to just do this in good faith. It's not like 1,000 years in that market is not going to affect the economy more than maybe 2 or 3 days.
No, really. And they say that. She's like, it's just nothing.
It's going to be easy. He could have done it from his pocket. And then, like, that would have affected the entire movie. But the fact that they don't do it.
There was more than that in the poker game.
Yeah. It's just like, bam, there you go. I'd say I don't like that he couldn't get any of his time back that the cops took from him. Like, he's like, there wasn't even like a small little a time capsule or whatever they're called. Like, not even like one of those just sitting around where he could be like, I need this for my survival, so I am stealing it to kind of get this ball rolling. I would have loved to have seen that, but it wasn't there.
The poker money is like at least sort of legitimately his. Like, he did win that. Like, sure, he was in New Greenwich in order to win it because of this money that wasn't his, which also he had a legitimate entitlement to because it was given to him and he didn't actually steal it.
Yeah.
But so all of it is really legitimately his, but we can't have the poor people moving up.
Well, see, it's not about the poor people moving up. It's about
poor people.
Like, they can't prove or disprove that he was given the money.
Yeah. And he keeps time.
But because he was in possession of it, he could go to New Greenwich, which was legal. And even if it wasn't his money, the money he won still belongs to him because he didn't lose anything. So what he did win is completely his, regardless of how he obtained it, because it was given to him as winnings from the game.
I guess you could say it's like, you know, if we're dealing in like evidence terms, it's like fruit of the poison tree, kind of like where he wouldn't have had any money to bet in order to win money if he didn't have the money that we can't prove is legitimately his. So it's all not his, which I guess is what they're doing. But then
it didn't even matter because, oh, well, you're poor, so we're going to make sure you're poor. Like it's just a cut dry kind of thing.
Well, that's what it is.
And it's just like,
that's all of what it is. Yeah. You're poor, stay poor, and shut up. Like, that's the whole world seems to be. So,
yeah. And I think it's because of like how they handle that. I don't want to say cleanly, but it's a cut dry kind of situation. That's why I would love to have had someone like with just a time cap, like one of the timekeepers have one like in their pocket because they all wear the same coat.
Well, he does say to her, where's our capsule? And they seem to not have it. So I guess maybe they left it in the car or something.
Yeah, but I'm going to keep going. All the way to where they have the hotel room. Mm-hmm. And like the timekeepers run up on him and is like, this is where I was going to stay.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like that's, it's a very kind of clean thing. Cause like we've already illustrated who this person is. We've ground their character in this universe. So we know that all of these decisions they're making isn't random chance. Like he is so experienced that he knows what this man is thinking before the man's going to think it.
But also it does seem like Will is probably right. And he is from there.
Yeah.
Actually, he does kind of say like it was a long time ago. He's a little vague, but it's kind of certain that, like, yeah, he did grow up there. What was with the guy, though, that comes into the hotel just after they buy it all out, and she says, we're fully booked up, and he says, right. And then he kind of just goes away.
That's the guy who rats him out to the bad guys.
He does rat them out?
That's him.
Okay.
He's like, I just want a portion of the reward, and then we don't see him again. It's almost a cut between that and then them being in the room and the doors being broken in.
I mean, and but also you totally know that he's going to jump out the window because he's like, we'll jump out the window. The timekeepers won't. And you're like, yeah, that one will for sure.
Yes.
Like we know enough about him by now. Like he's going to do it. Like the other ones probably won't because they're rookies, but he's going to do whatever it takes to keep. He keeps time. He keeps saying it.
Yeah.
I keep time. So he's going like to keep time. Like, no matter what.
He became his job. He's not a person anymore. He is
He's been doing
the job.
It 50 years.
Yeah.
Nobody's a cop for 50 years. They make you retire.
They make you retire.
Before you get to 50 years. So there's, he is his job. Like, that's what he does. He's put too much time into this to not.
Now, see, that's something else that kind of gets me is, like, I'm not saying he's the oldest person in this world, but what was his name? The guy who fell, just timed himself out on the bridge. Gave Will all the money.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his character names. I keep calling him Bowman because that's his real name. And I remember him from White Collar before this movie. But Matt Bowman, yeah. But
I think he said he's 105, something like that.
Yeah, he's 105 in real time. Yeah.
And so in real time, he's 105 and he kind of has this mental fatigue.
Which I think is probably a real thing.
Well, yeah, I've heard scientists talk about like you don't want to actually be immortal in this situation because your brain will like deteriorate mentally, not so much physically. And so I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, I'm wondering how old a lot of these other rich people are.
I feel like probably not as old. But also maybe they're just psychotic. I mean, the thing about like if you're mega rich. There's something different about your brain than other people. Like in order to like get there in the first place, because you have to be kind of like diabolical and ruthless and like who cares about other people in order to have like a super ton of money. Like even if you eventually become Bill Gates and then like you give a bunch of it to like AIDS in Africa or something. Like you still
he's not actually giving it to AIDS in Africa. He's giving it to organizations to help fight AIDS in Africa. He's not that evil.
Like, you know, Jeff Bezos sits around and like pays people $10 an hour to work in his warehouses for like 15 hours a day while he's like the richest man. Like there's something different about you than other people. And not just the happenstance of it. Like there are other people like that that don't have that much money. Those are the people that buy lottery tickets, like in a commonplace way, in like a compulsive way. Like, I have to have this much money so I can do whatever I want. Like, screw the rules, I have money kind of people. And I have the In America, but I don't have that one, so I can't play it. But,
And screw Halswell.
Screw Halswell. I have that one. I can pull that one in a second while I talk. But there's something different. And so, like, maybe there is something different about Weiss than there is about whatever Matt Bowman's character's name is, where he just is a like, because we know there is, because he won't give the 1,000 years to get his daughter back. So there's something well, different.
I wasn't sure if that was his fault or if he was told not to do it by the police.
Well, yeah, sure. But like,
because like you see him,
Charles
sitting
Lindbergh
there and
was
thinking
told
about
not
it.
To pay the ransom by the police. And Sinatra was told not to pay the ransom by the police. They still did it because it's your kid. So you do irrational things no matter what people tell you. But he seems not to care that much.
Yeah.
Like he's a helicopter dad. He's super protective, but it seems more like maybe he's worried about people getting access to the time than he is about the actual like his kid or his wife. Because that is what happens, which I like that where he's like, one too many guards, because there are so many guards standing around that nobody can tell who's who, and so they just sneak in. Although it does seem like there was a certain amount of bribery involved, because he says, like, it cost us centuries to bribe our way in here, and, you know, it maybe it's worth it, and they open the vault, and it's a million years. His first million.
Wait, a century is only like 100.
A century is 100 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Screw Halswell.
Yeah, fuck him right in the ass.
Screw Mrs. Eckley and screw the sow.
Okay.
As a companion. That's from Swing Vote, which is the at the same time, most political and most carefully non-political tightrope episode that we've ever done. Go and check that one out. I think it's like 109 or something. Like we were so careful to be as neutral as possible, but be as like be involved in politics at the same time. it was a tightrope. But I guess there's not like an I mean, for some people there's. I do wonder if we set Michael Bloomberg down to watch in time, what would he come out of it thinking? Like, would he just like be like
that one was drinking soda and that he doesn't understand the conversion rate between real money and 3 minutes for coffee?
I guess so. But I mean, there's a certain amount of keeping the poor down, I guess, that maybe he would agree with. But he would probably be on the other side, because you're supposed to be on the like, yeah, this is wrong that all these like there's plenty of time for everyone. You know, there's plenty of money for everyone. But it's, you know, segmented off, you know, lots of, you know, a few people have a lot of money. Lots of people have very little money. You know, it's a very like sort of messagey, you know, you see Timmy, you know, don't eat paint kind of message science fiction. And
what if you just walked across the barrier?
Well, I do wonder about the
I don't own a car.
Well, that's the
I'll
thing.
I'll just walk
too.
Right across it.
In order to drive through the barriers, you have to have a car, which seems to be not common for poor people because cars seem to be expensive. Which, like, that car is like, what is it, like 60 years or something? It's a lot. It's really expensive compared to the, like, the cover. I think you're right. Like, Bloomberg would be confused about the conversion rate, but so am I. Like, I don't really understand exactly the difference in value between various things. It's not important.
They also don't show us him actually getting paid a specific value. I paid attention to that.
He's working at the factory? No, because the only time we see him get paid, it's not as much as he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Because he didn't make quota, because the quotas go up.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, is I wanted to see what that arm was going to change to, so I could try to, like, figure out some numbers based off of how many hours I expected him to work that day.
Yeah.
And then try to figure out an actual conversion rate to figure out something similar to what we have, just to have an idea.
I mean, the closest we get...
I didn't see anything.
The closest we get is the mom, because the mom says, I have 2 days work in the garment district, which then she pays 2 days to the loan company. But was she gone for 2 days? So, like, did she work for 2 days in order to earn 2 days, and then she has, like, 30 minutes left that she had before? Or, I guess, 2 hours or whatever. It doesn't seem like. It seems like she's gone overnight, I guess.
Yeah.
And we don't know what kind of work she does. We know he makes work. Like, he makes the time capsule things. We don't know what she does. She does something in the garment district, which is apparently a thing. And we don't know where they are. They have made up names, but they're very clearly in Los Angeles, because we see the LA River like very prominently several times. Now, you did mention, just to wrap up, like, another thing, that like the way things look. If you're talking about it in like a cinematography context, it's Roger Deakins is the DP for this. So, like, you would expect it to be, you know, maybe not necessarily showy, because good cinematography is not necessarily showy, but you would expect it to be like just what it needs to be in order to serve the story. And I think it is. It is kind of a surprisingly small movie for this period of time to be Roger Deakins, you know, because he could be off making, you know, a Batman movie or something. But it is, and because there isn't any opportunity to be flashy. There's no like, let's fly like straight looking down over, you know, Mexican cities and things. You know,
there's nothing like, there's nothing really flashy about it. It's just what it needs. Now, this is not Roger Deakins' fault because this is not cinematography, but the only other thing, like the effects version of the acting of him crying over his mom is
the car wreck
is like
so
it's,
bad.
It's not so bad. It's
so bad because it stands out really, really hard.
Well, it's basically the only like effect in the movie. It's the only like, oh, look at, we're watching an effect in the movie. So like it. Of course, there's effects all over the movie because every time somebody has a watch on their arm, like that's an effect. But it's the
we
only
could not afford to actually roll a real car of this model
of that kind. No, it's not real. But the it's not that it looks like plastic or something. It really doesn't. It's the physics. The physics look weird.
Yeah,
like the weight of it looks weird. The speed that it flips looks weird, and so that's disappointing. But and it's disappointing because it's the only thing in the movie that is like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Nani? And it, you know, even on like a small TV, it doesn't look as good as it should. And it's, you know, it's not the fire in the like first season of Lost off in the distance that Sawyer looks at, like bad effect. Like it's not that bad, but it's not great. But so mostly, even though we're picking around in order to talk about things, it's good.
Yeah. I look forward to going, and watching Sonic. And that was one of the things I was thinking of is whenever he's running. I know like humans are the only species who seem to run for fun, but at the same time, running is good exercise. Yeah. And so
the hell kind of fun is that?
it's better than I think he took his wallet.
You know, like, okay, so it does look a little weird because he's not wearing jogging clothes or anything like that. But then it's just like, I don't see people run around here. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even the traffic in that area is surprisingly low.
Oh, yeah. They're going like 5 miles an hour. Like, they're not in any hurry.
Like, nah. Like, bruh.
Because they don't have to be.
Where would you like to display your hot rod, sir? Display it? Pshaw, you peasant. I plan to drive this vehicle.
You don't drive a fast car. That's dangerous. You might die. You know, like that. Like that's what's happening. Like nobody does anything.
I'm going to buy a bicycle and then strap a whole bunch of Roman candles to it and light all of them. And so they just spin and shoot stuff all over the place.
You might die.
By catching on fire.
Fire.
The cop knows Will's dead.
Yeah, that's something.
They didn't really go.
It doesn't go anywhere. We don't know what happened with his. I guess his dad was kind of revolutionary or like, something.
Killed because he was a criminal, but not a criminal. But
around
he was
time. He's a
man,
time. Then who? Time crimes.
Who killed him? Like, that's the thing. Like,
I think the timekeepers killed him.
Probably.
That seems to be what happened.
Like, we don't even get that as a resolution. That CGI crash.
That is
specifically a note. 1,000 years and giving time away, blah, blah, blah. It took an hour to get to real plot advancement.
I don't think so. Well, maybe plot. We're doing a lot of world building. We're doing a lot of character building. And it's only 107 minutes long or something anyway. So, like, I was okay with just, like, sitting here and, like, watching people exchange time and seeing billboards and the cost of things and kind of getting a feel for, like, how things are. I didn't mind the lack of plot progression. Although it does progress pretty fast once it happens.
Yeah, I'd say that's the reason I have the note is because I do like good plot because good plot is good story. But at the same time, like watching it develop so incredibly slowly that it takes an hour to actually get to whenever the plot's going to move forward. Like that was like the I think it was actually 57 minutes specifically, I think.
Like, it seems right.
Yeah, I think it was 57 minutes specifically because there was a line of dialogue. And when I heard that, I'm like, now we're going somewhere. And then I looked at the time and it was 57 minutes and I'm not hating on it by any means. No. But it's just like the movie speeds up exponentially at this point, because now it is we got to go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast.
Must go faster. Must go faster.
Oh, yeah. They make a comment about ruining the economy, but then they immediately cut to, like, the bad guy of the movie, like, the actual criminal boss. And I'm like, what? Because, like, they try to illustrate the point of the rich people and how they don't want to give up money, because if people have money, then they can't have money. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, maybe someone who's better at economics could explain how that's actually supposed to work, whatever. But
don't want to die, because if we die, we can't make money.
Yeah. I think I even said that to myself when I watched this movie. I'm pretty sure I did.
Well, that's the whole thing, because if you look at the history of it, and yes, it is February, but that's not the history we're looking at. Most of the reason to avoid war is because in war, like, you know, London gets bombed and it just gets bombed. So, like, poor people get bombed, rich people get bombed. And, like, it's bad for rich people. You know, war is good for the economy, but it's bad for rich people because it's dangerous. And, like, you know, maybe, like, people revolution and, like, take your rich people stuff like the poor people do. So, like, you don't want to upset things as the rich people. You want things to stay how they are so you can stay rich. And so, like, anything that's a difference, even if it might not be that much of a difference, it might be. And that's frightening. And you don't want that. And so we got to stop it. And so, like, even if they're not that justified in stopping what's happening, they're kind of justified in stopping what's happening as rich people because they just don't want anything to change. But they're still not justified.
Oh, yeah. But, the economy thing and the criminal. And he makes a comment about why the timekeepers leave him alone is because he takes time from his own people.
Yeah, not that much because there's not that much to take.
Yeah. Why hasn't someone already shot this guy? I think that's kind of
cost money. I don't know.
I think that's kind of my big thing. Like, the dude could have just shot the dude. Like, yeah, I had enough time left over to buy this. Do not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you own a firearm, and if you decide that you want to withdraw your firearm from wherever you have it stored, whether it be a holster or in your pants, please don't put them in your pants. Get a holster for it. And you wish to pull it out. You need to use it. Like, right there. I'm not saying going around and shoot people. I'm saying if you must pull your firearm out, it needs to be because you are planning and are going to execute using it for preferably a self-defense reason.
And yeah, now, granted, there's a sword taste blood kind of thing here.
Yeah. And so it's just like this guy pulls out a pistol as a threat to this guy who he knows is a threat. But then chooses not to remove the threat. And then is killed because of it. Do not put yourself in a situation where this can happen to you. Be safe.
So how do we feel about stars?
I'm giving it 4. Like, it's a good, strong 4. And it's been 4 for a while. Like, I haven't had any, like, oh, you know, it's been a while. And I didn't enjoy it as much. Like, no. It's a good, hard 4.
Hard. I'm going to say it. It's tough. I don't say it a lot, but it's tough. It's often tough. You know, we call it the hard choices model, and it's tough. I really like it. Like, I really like the, like, it as a thing. I like the, like, science fiction-y doing its jobness of it. I like the world that it builds. I have questions still, but I don't know if that's necessarily good enough reason to knock it off. The crying isn't great. Oh, I did the opposite of the crying. Is Matt Bowman's drunk acting, because it's almost all in his eyes. Like when the Minutemen show up in the bar to kill him and take his time, And he's like, gonna need a minute, I guess. Like, that's not what he says. Like, you just kind of see, he kind of stands there and is like swaying ever so slightly. And you just see like his eyes kind of like focus and unfocus and like just twitch just a little. It's really good drunk acting. And drunk acting is so hard because it's so easy to be like a caricature of drunk. It's like, it's really easy to be like Bill Cosby drunk acting. Like, it's not, it's in order to like doing it believably is really tough. And like that, it's really good. And it's especially good in contrast to the crying because your mom died. And also, this and The Social Network are the two things where I thought, like, where both of them, I was like, Justin Timberlake, am I going to believe that he's going to be a good actor? And then, turns out, yes.
Dick in a box.
Like, these are the two movies that I was like, yes.
The Golden Rule. Mother Lover.
But
he can do both.
I suppose so. But the I don't know. I like Darwinian capitalism as a phrase, even though I don't think there's that much of a difference between regular capitalism and Darwinian capitalism, except that I think it's a misunderstanding of evolutionary terms. Which, if you want to know what I think about misuse of evolutionary terms, go way back to the beginning and listen to the evolution episode. Also, if you want to hear us like fight angrily in an unenjoyable way, go and listen to the evolution episode, which
I wasn't on that.
It's a long way of saying probably don't listen to the evolution episode because it was the least fun that I've ever. I can't listen to it.
You were angry at Dan Aykroyd for even being in the movie.
I was angry at Dan Aykroyd for being in a movie. Now, I was angry at Dan Aykroyd for being in the Ghostbusters reboot also, but much less angry than I was for him being in Evolution. I hate Evolution. I hate it so much.
I'm going to stay more with Kenny on this. I enjoy it. Stupid shampoo.
But,
so dumb.
That's an example of not science fiction that I enjoy. And also not really science fiction because it doesn't teach you anything. But it's hard to say because, like, sure, it's really heavy-handed. It's like, time is money. Think about it. But, like, you probably should think about it because it seems like people don't think about it. And, I mean, I guess maybe some people think about it, but not most people don't think about it. And, you know, you know, this is pretty early in the, like, you know, the one percenter, you know, like, Occupy Wall Street kind of period of time. And it's saying those kinds of things. And so it's sort of out at the front end of that. Now, the other thing is, I said at the beginning of the episode already that this is in the fishbowl. And so, can I say this is in the fishbowl, but it's not 5 stars? Because I think that's a precedent, isn't it? Has that happened before?
I don't know. Like, I've actually been putting some thought into, like, movies that would make, like, the top 100 and understanding why they're worthy of being in a person's top 100 and then trying to understand whether or not that actually constitutes being worth 5 stars.
Well, if we're saying, which we have said for basically the whole life of the show, that it's not really a, like, objective quality thing, that it's kind of a, like, this is what I got out of it kind of thing, then, like, you know, obviously in, like, an objective kind of way, I can't make the argument that Pluto Nash is a 5-star movie in, like, a thumbs up Ebert and Siskel kind of way. But it is, to me, kind of, like, there's nothing about it that bothers. Like, I think everything about it is just what it should be, and I enjoy it every time I watch. So, like, that.
Well, like,
I don't know.
The fishbowl is essentially each person's individual top 100 that we've randomized in such a way to create a show.
But are they all 5 stars?
But that's one of the things. And the reason why I'm thinking about this is because one of the movies that I put down is called Safe. And it's a Jason Statham movie that I absolutely love watching.
I haven't seen it.
But I also don't like lots of it. And so, yeah, I know.
Well, so that's a really,
and so it's like
in the fishbowl. I don't like lots of it.
But yeah, but then it's just like, okay, so
there's parts that I like.
There's like, there's stuff about it that I like so much that I felt that it was worthy of being on the list, but it wasn't the top of the list. Like, it was one of those where I'm like, I'm filling out the last of it. What are movies that I like more than other movies? And then like putting those down. And so I would have to say, if, at a current standpoint, I would give Safe maybe a light 4, because I know it's not a 5-star movie for me, but I still enjoy it. It's like, I kind of feel like I ran out of 5-star movies and then I had to start digging into like the 4-star movies.
Mostly
I did that because there are a lot of 5-star movies that are almost like
the same as other ones on the list.
Yeah. Already. And it's just like, oh, are we going to include like 12 Studio Ghibli movies?
Maybe.
And I'm like,
they're different.
I'll put in 4 Studio Ghibli movies that I think are the best to represent this. You know, it's stuff like that.
Inserting headline news. Miyazaki currently at work on animating a new Studio Ghibli movie despite his retirement.
Because the man will not retire.
He's animating it like, what did they say, like a minute a month or something?
Yeah, it's so, like he has become his work. He is the anime keeper.
So with all of that struggling and quantifying and rule making, and I return again to the beginning of the segment. It's tough. So, yeah. Although I guess it isn't, because when something, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, both individually and collectively, are 5. Like, it's just like, you know, the top of my head is blowing off. They're like, I can't contain how great I think they are. So, like, they're obviously 5 stars. Apollo 13's obviously 5 stars. You know, like, these are things, you know, Network is like, you know, that there's no question that they're 5 stars. So maybe that's what it is. If I have to think about it,
does it really deserve it?
Yeah. I guess. So, like, it's just, so I guess I will come down to that and agree with you and say, like, it's a really strong 4, but it's a 4 because I suppose there are things, but I really like it. And maybe it might be right at the edge. I think maybe it is right at the edge, but it's just not, you know, it's not quite a boom cannon, but it's right there. It's a bang cannon.
Well, I think something else that you may want to take into consideration is if at any point in time, got him. You find yourself thinking about this movie in a positive way, or you recall that, hey, maybe I want to watch this again with something.
You should.
Then I think that is definitely deserving of something towards 5 stars. So.
Well, I don't only rewatch things that are 5 stars.
Oh yeah, I watch movies that are like 1 or 2 stars. I gotta keep that poison.
I have yet to rewatch Interstellar. It's on the shelf.
Yeah, I won't.
It's on the shelf. It's on the Nolan shelf. I have the like magnetic foldout. Not the like everything is silent in space. It's not like that's gravity anyway.
I was willing to cut myself in half just to have that 2 and 4 star rating. I'm still angry about that movie.
I have yet to rewatch it. It's been a long time.
I will not do it.
Ecstasy.
We didn't finish that.
We didn't. Someday we have to, I guess. Maybe that's one of the live shows, is Ecstasy.
No.
Okay.
We will need some Ecstasy to sit down and watch that.
I will
that.
Not take Ecstasy and watch the movie Ecstasy.
Then we will not watch that movie.
Okay.
Horrible.
Not 5 stars. So there you go, Joshua Bandy. It is what we think about in time. Probably not everything we think about in time, but in any case, that's all we have to say about in time.
Well, right before we sign off, I'd like to lead with a quote that I got from Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle!
Poor is a mental state What you are is broke.
I don't know if I agree with that. I see the comedy in it, I suppose. We'll see you next time.
Later.
It's like, we're not actually doing work. We're using money and investing more money to make more money to invest in to make more money and repeat this infinitely.
Did you just take his wallet? He just took that guy's wallet.
Science has proved that this is so.